John chapter number 1 is the text we're going to be looking at. I'm excited to go through this together this morning. Just for a few minutes, I'm not going to keep you too long today. I think over the past about probably month and a half or so, in my personal alone time with the Lord, I've been studying through this epistle of 1 John. And the Lord has given me a few things out of this, and I'm just going to give you what the Lord has been giving me out of the Word this morning. So I pray that it will be a blessing to you. The title of the message today is going to be this: Come Fellowship With Us. Come Fellowship With Us. 1 John chapter number 1, verses 1 through 10 this morning. The Bible says in verse number 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. And there's that word again, isn't it, from last week. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And you might want to underline that. That's kind of important right there. Verse 5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. May God add His blessing to the Word this morning. I'm going to pray, and as I'm praying, I ask that you would pray right where you are, that God would speak to your heart this morning, and that God would give you whatever He wants to give you. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning. We want to thank You for Your Word. God, Your Word is so good. God, Your Word is so powerful. It is so pure. And God, it is so profitable for our lives. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So God, this Word isn't nothing today. This Word is everything. And we need it today to help us in our lives. And Father, I know that Your Word draws us closer to You. So I pray that as this Word is spoken, is taught, and is preached today, I pray that the hearts of the people would be open. And I pray that we would receive Your Word as it is the Word of God. And it would work in us today and make an impact on our lives. Lord, we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. The Apostle John, of course, is the author of this epistle called 1 John. And unlike Paul, whom we know to whom Paul is writing to, Paul, for instance, writes, he says, to the church at Corinth, the church at Rome, the church at Ephesus, etc. John does not tell us to what church he's writing, to what group of people he is writing to. But we do know this about the people to whom John is writing. The people to whom John is writing is very dear to the Apostle John. They are very close to the Apostle John. They aren't distant relatives to whom he visits twice a year. They aren't people to whom he does not talk to or people he isn't close to. These people to whom John is writing are very close to John. And I want you to go to chapter 2, verse number 12. In verses 13 and 14, he's going to use pronouns here to show you how close these people are to him. Chapter 2, verse 12 says, I write unto you, little children. Verse 13 says, I write unto you, fathers, Verse 13, I write unto you young men, and he repeats it again. I write unto you little children, I write unto you fathers, I write unto you young men. And all throughout these five chapters he says, you're brethren, you're my brethren, you're my brothers, you're my brothers. Those aren't just pronouns that you use to speak about anybody. He calls them little children, fathers, young men, brothers. And because of that, this epistle is called a family epistle, right? Little children, fathers, young men, their family. And because of that, this epistle is one of the most intimate letters in the New Testament, because you can tell how close they are to one another. John is writing to none other than his family. And I don't know if y'all figured this out growing up in church or not. Have you figured out that that is exactly what the church is? One big family? Right. It's not just this church in the building. Yes, you and I are one big family, but the church all around the world who has been born again, who has been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all one big family. And notice I didn't say we're like family. I didn't say that. We're not like family. We are family. Say it with me. We are family. Y'all was about to start singing that old song, wasn't you? Right? We are family. What's the next part say? I got... See, some of y'all ain't as sanctified as y'all thought. We are family this morning. And I don't know about you. I do know a lot about you. But to me, family is very important to me. Family is something that is very important to me, and it ought to be very important to all of us. And I said earlier this past week, on the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th of December, man, we got to spend time with Monica's side of the family. On Christmas Eve, we got to spend time with my side of the family, my parents, my grandparents, my brothers, all of their children. And we just got to spend time with them. And as I was thinking about it, I wouldn't trade that time this week for anything in this world that we got to spend with our family. And that's why I love the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, all that stuff so much, just because you get to spend time with your family. And you know what makes the holidays and spending time with your family so great? It's not just the presents. Those are good. It's not just the food that we get to eat, the huge platters that we get, though those are really good. What makes time with your family so good is the fellowship. Is the fellowship you get to spend with one another. You say, what's fellowship? It's talking with each other. It's listening to each other. It's sharing old memories. It's making new memories. It's laughing with one another. Quite frankly, fellowship is just simply being together. That's what fellowship is. It is being together. And that's what, to me, makes the holidays so joyous, is the fellowship that we get to share with our friends in our family. Now, we said that we as a church are one big family. And I'm going to be honest with all of you this morning. The past 9 months, 10 months, ever since this stuff hit, the greatest thing on the top of my list that I've missed the most, Brother Johnny, is that word. Fellowship. Fellowship with one another is the thing that I've missed more than anything this year. I never thought I'd say this, but I would give absolutely anything to go back to the time where the musicians would just stand up here and play. We wouldn't sing, but we'd walk around and shake each other's hand. Well, we'd walk around and hug each other's neck and say, boy, I sure am glad to see you in church this morning. I love that time, to where you could just stop everything and go see somebody you wanted to see and hug them. And if Miss Rhonda was here, she'd walk up to you and give you a kiss. Right? That's the thing that we miss more than anything, is just the fellowship that we share together. And we hadn't got to do that as much this year over the past 9 or 10 months. It's fellowship with one another. But I do want you to know this. Though we haven't been able to fellowship with one another, there's something I know. What God has been trying to do over the past 9 or 10 months has been, He's trying to draw His people into closer fellowship with Him. Maybe He's trying to get us away from all of these things so that we'd finally get our priorities right and get closer to Him. God has been trying and trying and trying to get people's attention, get our attention, so that we finally might get closer to Him and start walking in fellowship with Him. And the question that I want to ask you today is, are you in fellowship, not with each other, but with God? Are you walking in fellowship with God? That question is not the question, are you saved? I'm not asking, have you ever been born again? I sure hope so. The question I'm asking is, are you in fellowship with God? That question really means this. Are you walking with Him? Are you talking to Him? Are you listening to Him? But most of all, are you going in the same direction as Him in your life? Because you can't be in fellowship with somebody if you go in opposite directions, can you? So are you in fellowship with God? Walking with Him, talking with Him, listening to Him, and going the direction He's going. Because I want you to know this morning. Justin knows this from personal experience. A lot of people know this. You can be a child of God and still be out of fellowship with God. You can be saved. You can be going to heaven. But you can also be out of fellowship with God at the same time. And you know, when I was writing this today or yesterday, I believe that's exactly where most of the issues in our life come from. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we're going to heaven. And yes, sometimes we're even coming to church. But sometimes we're so in love with this world and the things of it that we aren't in fellowship with God. Because John tells us this, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You can't love the world and God at the same time. And so often we get so caught up in loving the things of the world that we don't love God the way we're supposed to, and therefore if you don't love Him, you can't walk in fellowship with Him. That is the basis of fellowship, love. And the question once again this morning is, are you walking in fellowship with God? Because I want you to know this. Charles Stanley says this, the Lord's top priority for your life is to walk in close fellowship with Him. If the Lord had a list in heaven that said the priorities for Brother Johnny, number one would be that Johnny would walk closer with me. You realize that? The top priority for Justin is that Justin would walk closer in fellowship with me. Every single person in here, if you are saved, the Lord's top priority for you is for you to walk closer with Him. And the question this morning is, are you? Are you walking in close fellowship with God? You'll notice that word fellowship is mentioned twice in verse 3, once in verse 6, and once in verse 7. It's very important to the Apostle John. And this is one of the reasons the Apostle John wrote this epistle, is so that you and I, listen, could know how to walk in fellowship with God. Because if there was an apostle that ever walked in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it was the Apostle John. The Apostle John hardly didn't miss anything. He was at the cross. He was at the empty tomb. He was laying on his chest at the Last Supper. The Apostle John was this close to Jesus all the time. If there was somebody who knew how to fellowship with God, it was John. And he's about to tell us how we can join in with Him and fellowship with Him. Look at how close John was to Jesus. Look at verse 1. Let's break it down. That which was from the beginning. We talked about that last week. In the beginning was the Word. He's talking about Jesus here. That which was from the beginning, Jesus, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. That is exactly what fellowship is, isn't it? John says, I saw Him, I listened to Him, and I even touched Him. I was so close to Him. That's fellowship. looking, talking, listening, touching, being close. Fellowship. That was John. He said, that was me and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was reading this week, and I'll be honest with you. I look at John and I'm saying, it'd be pretty easy to fellowship if you're John. God was standing right in front of him in flesh. And I'm thinking, no wonder he fellowshiped with God. That'd be pretty easy, Brother Johnny. There he is standing there. All I got to do is look at him, listen to him, talk to him, even walk up to him and touch him. That'd be easy to fellowship with God if you were John. Think about this. I want you to listen to what John tells us. John says in verse 3, he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Why? So that you may also have fellowship with us. He said, I am writing this to you. Me and Jesus are standing right here. And I am writing this to you, church, so that you may know how to come over and have fellowship with me and Jesus. In other words, you can have fellowship with God even without being with Him in flesh and blood. You can fellowship with God the same way John did. And John is saying, I'm telling you His message so that you can come and fellowship with us. And the question I want to ask you this morning is, do you want to? Do you have a desire in your heart to walk with God? Well, John is about to tell us in these verses how exactly we can do that. But before we do that, I want you to look at verse 4. Verse 3 says, that you may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you that your joy might be full. Wow. If there's something that's in high demand today, it's joy. If there's something that people want and long for and are searching for and are looking for, it is joy. And John says when you fellowship with the Father, when you fellowship with the Son, your joy is not going to be halfway. Your joy is going to be full. And the psalmist says it's going to start running over. You want joy? Raise your hand. Fellowship with God. Now, let me say this. This is total opposite of what I thought my whole life growing up, Brother Johnny. My whole life growing up, I thought the Bible, I thought going to church, I thought this whole Christianity, God stuff, you ready? Was boring. That was my perspective my whole life. This Bible stuff, this Christianity stuff, this church stuff, yeah, I'll do it on the weekend, whatever, it's just another activity that I do, but I don't find that much joy in it. I'll find my joy in other stuff. And it's honestly just a little bit boring. You'll find the Bible teaches something different. And my whole perspective began to change when God, in His loving hand and His grace, began to draw me closer to Him through His Word. And one thing that He showed me that I'll never forget is this, that the most exciting, the most fun, the most joyful thing in this world is walking in obedience with Him. Let me say it again, because some of y'all don't look that joyful this morning. The most fun, the most exciting, and the most joyful thing in this world is walking in obedience with God. I was thinking yesterday, I've done a lot of fun stuff, a lot of things that make me happy and bring me joy, but I have still never found one thing that brings me more joy than getting in the Bible, reading the Bible. And as I'm reading the Bible, all of a sudden the still small voice of God begins to speak to my heart. There is absolutely nothing that I have found more satisfying, more joyful, more happy, more exciting in my life than when God Almighty begins to speak to my heart through His Word. I've never found anything in this world more joyful than when I get all alone and there is nobody there except me and God. And I begin to pray to Him, cry out to Him, and He speaks to my heart in the very same way. There is nothing more joyful, nothing more satisfying, nothing more happy, and nothing more exciting than to walk with Almighty God. And you see, we've got it wrong for years. People still today think the Christian life is about your shoulders slumped over all the time. Well, I don't get to go there because I'm a Christian. Well, I don't get to drink that because I'm a Christian. Well, I don't get to say those words or listen to that or watch that and do that because I'm a Christian. Poor little me. No. That ain't what I've found the Christian life is like, Brother Johnny. You know what I found out? It's like I look back at those stuff and I say, I'm glad I don't want to do that stuff because I'm a Christian. I'm glad I don't want to drink that because I'm a Christian. I'm glad I don't want to go there, say that, or do that because I'm a Christian. Because when I'm going that direction, I'm walking in the opposite direction of God. But can I tell you, when you get in the same direction as God, there is nothing more fun, nothing more satisfying, nothing more exciting than walking in the same direction as Almighty God. Because when you're walking in the same direction as God, do you realize you're walking beside a person who put every single star in the sky? You're walking beside a person who can take the Red Sea and split it in half whenever he wants to. You're walking beside a person who looks at dead people and says, "Get up," and they get up. There's nothing boring about my God. Walking with God is the most exciting, fun, joyful thing you'll ever find in this life. And I don't know about you, I want to do it closer with Him. He says, "I write these things to you that your joy might be full." There's nothing boring about our God this morning. He brings us joy unlike any other. The question this morning is how? We want to. We know kind of what to do, but how do we walk in fellowship with God? So I don't know about you, I'd love to live 2,000 years ago with the Apostle John. I'd love to have been one of those 12. Seeing all that stuff that Jesus did. Hearing Him, listening to Him, talking to Him, seeing Him. But John says, just come on over. We can do it again. Come fellowship with us and you can listen to Him. You can talk to Him. You can be with Him. And you can walk with Him. But how? Here's how. Verse 7. Very simple. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Isn't that so simple that a second grader could understand it? He said, you want to fellowship with God? Walk in the light. There it is. Now we need to understand what it means to walk in the light. Look at verse 5. This is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Very simple. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. That is true physically. All right. Very often when God manifested Himself, His glory in the Old Testament, it was such a bright and shining light that nobody could approach it. So that's the truth physically. God is so bright that no man can approach Him in a mortal body. So God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. But this means something different. John is using light and darkness as metaphors here. All right, he uses the same thing in John chapter number 3. He said the reason the unbelievers don't come to the light is because they don't like the light. They like the darkness because their deeds are evil. So light is a metaphor for good. Darkness is a metaphor for evil. So what John is saying in verse 5, God is good. Somebody say amen right there. And in Him there is no evil. Alright? Say it this way. God is righteous. In Him there is no unrighteousness. God is holy, and in Him there is no unholiness. God is sinless, and in Him there is no sin. That's what verse 5 is saying. God is perfect, and in Him there is no imperfection. God is righteous, in Him there is no unrighteousness. All right? Therefore, if we're going to fellowship with that God, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to get on that same page. We're going to have to get in that same realm to where we're walking in righteousness, we're walking in holiness, we're walking in goodness. Because He tells us in verse 6, if we walk in darkness, we don't have fellowship with Him. You want to know why? Because you're going the opposite direction of God. God goes the righteous way. If we walk in darkness, we're going the unrighteous way. God's going the holy way. If we walk in darkness, we're going the unholy way. So if you're wondering why in the world you can't have fellowship with God and you're walking in evil, you're walking in unholiness, you're walking in unrighteousness, there's your answer. God's going that direction, and so often we're going that direction. So if we're going to fellowship with God, we've got to be in the same direction as Him. And verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You want to fellowship with God? John says, just get where He's at. Go where God is at. And where is He at? He's in the light. If you want to have fellowship with God, get where He's at, and He is in the light now. For the next few minutes, I'm just going to give you three things, all right? And I want you to write them down. Because this week, if you want to fellowship with God, we're going to have to do these things. A person who walks in the light, according to 1 John, is characterized by three things. Number one, that person who walks in the light and has fellowship with God confesses their sin. That person confesses their sin. Now, that's total opposite of what you would expect the first point to be. You'd expect the first point to be a person who walks in the light doesn't really sin. A person who walks in the light is almost done with sin. That's not what our text says. Verse 7 says, if you walk in the light, we're going to have fellowship one with another. But here's the next thing, what's going to happen. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if you are walking in the light, that does not mean you'll be sinless. Everybody shake your head. If you're walking in the light, that doesn't mean you'll be sinless. But it does mean this. You will continually be in the process of being cleansed from your sin. To walk in the light means you are continually being cleansed from sin. That is what it means to walk in fellowship with God this morning. God does not require perfection, just confession. God doesn't require perfection, He requires confession. And so many people, including me, lose sight of this fact. Because I'll be honest with you, growing up playing sports, I've wanted to be a perfectionist. Every time I played baseball, I wanted to go 5 for 5. If I played basketball, I wanted to hit all 10 three-pointers. And if I didn't, I wasn't that happy. But so often we lose sight of the fact of this. God does not require us to be perfect to walk with Him. All you got to do is read the Gospels to find that out. Them 12 dudes He picked, go ahead and read up about them. There was nowhere near perfect. Yet you know what Jesus did? He said, come on, I choose you. They didn't choose Him, He chose them. He said, I know you're sinners, I know you're failures, and Peter, I know you're going to deny me in 3 years, but I still choose you. That makes me pretty happy this morning. That God knows in 3 years we're going to do something to totally mess up, to totally wreck some things, but He says, I still want you. I still love you, and I still choose you. But we lose sight of the fact that so many people say, man, I'll just never be good enough to walk with God. And just in case you think I'm too good to walk with God, let me take this suit off. Because this soup can often show a picture that's not true, isn't it? Not everybody that comes to church is perfect. Not even the preacher. God does not expect us to be perfect this morning, church. What He expects is when we sin, be real about it and come clean with it. That's the only thing He expects. He doesn't expect perfection. He just says, when you mess up, just come tell me, because I already know anyway. But I want you to listen to this. If you and I ever come to a point in our life where we are not being cleansed from some sin in our life, and we think we've reached the top where we say, man, I don't even sin really that much anymore. You want to know why that is? It's because we began to walk in darkness. Because when you walk in darkness, you know what darkness does? Hides things. You know what the light does? Reveals things. So if we think we're not sinning, that we don't sin anymore, you want to know why? It's because we're walking in darkness. But when you turn on the light, all we got to do is look down and see all the dirt we've been walking in. Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah came into the presence of Almighty God before His throne, and when he saw the light of God shine on him, the first thing Isaiah said was, woe is me. The first thing Isaiah saw was his own sin. When he got in the presence of God, that was the first thing that was pointed out to Isaiah, was his own sin. And us too. When we are walking in the light of this Word, the first thing it's going to do is point out where we're walking wrong. And you know what? It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But that's why so many people never read this book. Because they don't want to get told they're doing wrong. Because that's exactly what this book does. It is a light, a bright and shining light that shows even the hidden things of our heart. So if we ever come to a point to where we're not being cleansed from sin, it's because we're walking in darkness. One of the main ways we know we're walking in the light is when we're completely aware of our own sin. Some of the godliest people in this world are not people who are sinless. They are people who realize how sinful they are. How about the Apostle Paul? What did he say? I'm the what? The chief? The most godliest man you'd probably ever meet was Paul. He didn't say, man, I'm doing pretty good for myself. He said, no, I'm pretty rough. I'm the chief of sinners. And I've said this before, Jonathan Edwards, 1700s, America's greatest preacher probably. He said, if God were to count the sins of my heart, my bed would be in hell tonight. He said, that's how sinful and vile I am. And that's one of the main ways we know we're walking in the light, is when God points out the sin in our life. So, when we're walking in the light, God reveals to our conscience the sin that's in our life. But the most important part comes next. You ready? When He reveals something that we are doing that is wrong, what do we do about it? You know what Adam and Eve did? Let's make coverings. That's what a lot of people do today. Let's just cover it up. It's not the way God wants us to do it. Verse 8 says so many people deny it. If we say that we have no sin, in other words, it's not my fault. She's the one that made me sin. Talk to her. I deny it. Verse 9 tells us God's will. Confess it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what God does, He brings it to our conscience. He convicts us of it. And the next thing is confession. It should happen just like that. He brings it up. He convicts you. And you say, God, I agree with you. That's wrong. You say, how often do I need to do that? How often do you sin? You want me to tell you mine? or a day? Every day. We need to go to God for cleansing from our sin. Because I don't know about you, in this world, we can get pretty dirty, can't we? Our mind can think some pretty dirty stuff. We can say some pretty mean stuff. And we can do some things that get us dirty and out of fellowship with God. So what God says is, if you'll listen, I'll tell you what you've done. And all you got to do is come say, God, I agree. What I did was wrong. And you know what God does? He takes that cleansing blood and says, you're cleansed again. Every single time. So a person who walks in the light, he's not somebody who's sinless. He's just somebody who listens to the voice of God when God tells him he's sinned and he confesses that sin. So let me ask you something. Is that you? Are you a person that is characterized not by hiding your sin, not by saying, well, my sin's not a big deal, so I don't have to confess it. You're somebody who's sensitive to the fact that when you mess up, you're going to go to God and say, I'm sorry. I messed up. I need a fresh cleansing. A person who walks in the light confesses their sin. Number two, a person who walks in the light keeps God's Word. He keeps God's Word. Chapter 2, verses 3. Look at what it says. Hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that says, I know Him, and keeps not His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His Word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. He that saith he abideth in Him, ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Now, if you've been here for any length of time, I hope you understand that I've emphasized time and time again that we need to be in the Word of God. We need to read and study the Word of God. But Jesus emphasized this. You need not only to hear the Word, you need to keep the Word. You need to obey the Word. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, whoso keeps his Word, verily is the love of God perfected in him. And here it is again, 1 John chapter number 5. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Over and over and over again, He says, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you love the children of God, you will obey the Word of God. And God's desire is that we be obedient to His Word. So in order to walk in fellowship with God, we will be obedient to God's will. Another question. How often do you find yourself thinking throughout your day, am I being obedient today? Does a thought ever come up to you saying, how can I obey God right now? How can I overcome temptation and obey God? Because to walk in fellowship with Him, in close fellowship with Him, we must obey Him. Now here's the last one and I'm done. Somebody say amen. It'll help me out. A person who walks in the light confesses their sin. A person who walks in the light keeps the Word. But a person who walks in the light also loves one another. Now that's pretty interesting to me. Chapter 2, verse 9. He that says he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. Verse 10. He that loves his brother abides in the light. Verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. That's pretty interesting to me. Because you would expect for us to fellowship with God, to walk in the same direction as God, we would need to love Him, obey Him, and confess our sin to Him. But John tells us this. In order to go closely in your walk with God, you need not only to love Him, you need to love those around you. Because you know what God does? He loves those around you. And if you're going to go in that same direction as God, you're going to need to love those around you. So it not only matters that we love God, it matters that we love others. If we hate our brother, strong word, isn't it? If we hate our brother, we are in darkness. But if we love our brother, we are in the light where God is. So here's this. You cannot have fellowship with God if you're not in fellowship with your brother. And here's where it smacks. So many people might be wondering, why in the world can I feel close to God like I used to? Why in the world does it seem like everybody else is walking closely with God? I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to church. I seem to be doing the right things. I seem to be obeying God, loving God, reading, praying. Why can't I get close to God? It might just be that you hate somebody around you. God says, if you hate your brother, you can't walk with me. And this isn't me just preaching to you. This is me preaching to me. Because if we could raise our hands, we all know what it's like to hate somebody. We don't have to be that sanctified this morning. We all know what it's like to really, 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 really dislike somebody. And when that stirs up and stays, months are going to go by and you're going to wonder why in the world you ain't walking as closely with God as you used to. Because you can't fellowship with God without fellowshipping with your brother. And that is why Jesus tells you in the Sermon on the Mount, if somebody has something against you, go be reconciled to them quickly. He says, if you come to pray and you're not reconciled in fellowship with your brother, don't bother, because I'm not going to listen. That verse has tore me up time and time again. I don't know if any of y'all ever have arguments in your marriage. I don't know if that's even normal. Is it normal to have arguments with your marriage? Oh, okay, maybe that's just us. When you argue with your husband or your wife and you just walk off mad, go try to pray and see what happens. And what your spirit's going to say, I ain't listening. Because the Bible already said, go be reconciled to them first, then I'll listen. That just ain't about your husband and your wife. It says your brother. Not just my two brothers. Sister. You want a fellowship with God? Not only do you need to be right with Him, you need to be right with one another. And I don't know about you, I'll say it again. I want to get closer to my God. I want to walk in fellowship with Him. And it takes not being sinless, but being real about our sin. It takes being in His Word and keeping His Word. And it takes loving those around us the same way He loves us. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And the way He loves us is unconditionally. And that's the only way we're going to figure out how to love one another, is unconditionally. No matter what they do, say, how they act, we love each other unconditionally, the way God loved us. Those three things this week. I want to walk in fellowship with God. So let God make those three things a part of your life this week. He's going to bring some stuff to your mind if you ask Him. Confess it. Get in the Word and keep it. But those around you at your job and your family and your friends, love them. And you'll walk with God this week. and He will begin to draw us ever closer to Him. Let me read this to you and I'm done. Fanny Crosby, you ever heard of her? An amazing hymn writer in the 1800s, 1900s. She wrote this hymn called Close to Thee. Close to Thee. And this was one of her prayers that she prayed. And I'm going to try to do it for you. Remember, my gift is not singing. Just listen to the words. Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. I hope that's your prayer this week. All along life's journey, I want to walk with Him. Close to Thee. Close to Thee. Let's all stand. Father, we come to You this morning. And God, You have given us absolutely everything we need to walk closely with You. You've given us Your Word. You've given us Your Holy Spirit. You've given us every promise in the Word. And everything that we need is at our disposal to walk closely with You. So Father, I pray that You'd help us to realize it's our responsibility to take the Word, to keep the Word, and to obey Your Word this week so that we might walk closer with You. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. So God, we're asking You this week that You would help us to be diligent, to be intentional, and to be real about drawing closer to You. Because as we do it, You'll draw closer to us. Father, that's all we desire, is to be closer with You today. We thank You for this Word. Thank You for the Lord Jesus who gives us that opportunity to have fellowship with You. It's in His name we pray. Amen.